listening to the Living Truth Church podcast. We pray you encounter God through this message. To find out more about our family, visit us online at livingtruth.church.
Randy mentioned about meet and greet. I reinforce that again. If you're new to our church, or even if you're visiting today and you want to know more about us, you're welcome to go out in the foyer afterwards and sign up for that. And the only reason we do the sign up is so we'll know how much food we need for the lunch, but we would love to have you. If you just want to come for lunch, just come. We'll make that happen. But we want to get to know you better, let you know us a little better, find out why we're here, what we do, the whole thing. So we just want you to be a part of that. So be sure and do that after service today. How y'all doing? Isn't God good? Faith was supposed to sing one song today, and Travis ended up sick, and didn't she pick up and do really well? I thought so. One of those songs she wrote herself and has a powerful, powerful words and meaning to the song. And we're thankful for the talent and gifting that we have here. God has blessed us so much with gifted people. And I just want to say to you gifted people, thank you. You don't want me on a keyboard or anything like that. So God has blessed us with that. Who said that? David. You don't want me on a keyboard, you know. David's known me a long time, and he knows that I don't need to be on anything instrumental. Love to sing, but have to just break out and do that by myself sometimes. But I have the pulpit, so I guess I could do that right now if I wanted to, couldn't I? Thank you for coming today. I just want to take a little while and just talk to you about something God's really pressed heavily on me. Last Sunday, I spoke about the power and authority that's in the name of Jesus. I still stand for that. I believe everything that I said last week, but I do want to clarify just briefly, just a little bit in that. First of all, just because you say the words in the name of Jesus doesn't automatically cause things to happen. So I just need to clarify that. There are some very important things concerning our relationship to Jesus and how we think that has everything to do with what happens when we pray. Somebody sent it out for me, but I wrote a little note in an email, and it was sent out this week, and I hope you opened that and read that, and you'll get a little more detail about what I'm talking about there. If you don't get that email, then you need to see somebody here, Jessica or somebody. Jessica Williams, which she's over in the classroom now, but see her if you're not on that email list, because we send out something at least once a month, and just a little short thought that's always encouraging. But if you're not on that list, or you don't open the email, then you are on the list. You need to open that and take a look at it. There's some really good stuff that goes out. So be sure and do that. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, starting with the 10th verse. I don't know if I'm going to read this whole thing or not for time's sake, but let me go a couple of verses anyway. Finally, Paul was speaking to the church at Ephesus, and he said, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." And I'm just going to stop right there instead of reading through that, the rest of that. Has anybody ever read that before? Let me see your hand if you've ever read that. Okay. Paul is writing to the church, and he's telling the church that I want you to put something on. So there's a reason for it, because believe it or not, The enemy has a strategy to destroy people of God. Actually, when I think about what I just said, the enemy has a strategy to destroy everybody. He wants to destroy everybody, everything that has anything to do with life and abundant life. So I don't believe that there's a person in this room that's immune to the attack of the enemy. No matter who you are, no matter your status or success in life or lack of it, I believe that you are either under attack or about to be under attack, especially if you're trying to do right. Because the enemy does not like anybody that wants to do things right. And that's why Paul penned these verses of Scripture for the church. Now, this is for us, folks. And as sons and daughters, we are promised blessings. But I believe the greatness of the blessings is in direct proportion to the greatness of the battle you will encounter. So if you're going through something that's really tough, then you might ought to just lift up your head, put a smile on your face, because if you'll stand in the midst of your trouble, God has a great blessing beyond your trouble. But you have to go through it, you have to stand in it. And if you'll look at the end of this reading that I was going to read, I'll tell you about that. But it said, whenever you've done everything that you can do to stand, what does it say you do then? Stand. So once you've done everything you can do to stand, then just stand. And I was looking at this and I thought, you know, you're putting on armor. You're putting on all these things to fight with. And you think you would want to move forward or you would want to run forward or you'd want to do something with it. But Paul is encouraging people to put on the whole armor of God and then stand for what you know. And I just believe that if we face our enemy, now the scripture says, the scripture didn't say, I said it. You need to face your enemy. And that there's a reason that armor is more protective to the front of you than the back of you. God never expected any of us to turn and run from anything that the enemy has to throw at us. He expects us to stand, face our enemy, and he also gave us a sword to fight with. So this is not a battle that we just stand there and take the attack. We have the word of God that we can fight back with. So there is power in the armor that we take upon ourselves so that we can fight a battle. And we have given been given the equipment to not only fight the battle, but we've been given the equipment to win the battle. All right? So he wants us to stand, and he wants us to stand and fight. And I believe that God has given us some things that we have yet to possess. God doesn't have any thoughts of us retreating from any territory that he's given to us. Because he's already given it to us, but he wants to add to what he has already given. Paul names all the equipment, all the parts of the armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. He wants your feet fitted with shoes that come from the gospel of peace. This caught my attention. I'm not going to go into this, but it just something to think about. He wants us to put on something of peace to fight a battle. Just think about that sometime. Put on shoes of peace so that you can fight. Now, when you think of fighting, you don't think of peace. But there's something that will fight for you in the midst of the peace of your life. And I really believe that there are a lot of people that lay their head down at night with a lot of lack of peace. You lay down, you're miserable, you don't understand why your day went the way it went, you don't understand why you're going through what you're going through, there's no peace. But I'm telling you, if you will put some peace on, God will begin to fight the battle for you. Okay. So all these things that he wants you to, he has the shield of faith, he has the sword of the Spirit, all the necessary equipment to be able to stand with everything around you is trying to bring you down. He's given us the equipment to do that. But there's one thing that I want to focus on today, and that's the helmet of salvation. That's where my focus is going. The helmet of salvation. You have to protect your head. Did you hear me? You have to protect your head. Now, you know, I've seen cop shows, I've seen movies about all kind of different stuff where people are shooting each other and all this kind of thing. What I've noticed is that they will put on this bulletproof vest to protect their midsection. But then they'll walk right in. You ever seen them? Y'all have watched these shows. Walking around, but their head is exposed. And me, this is the cop going after the bad guy. I'm saying, just shoot him in the head. He's got the vest. Just shoot him in the head. That's what the enemy is seeing, and what he is shooting at today is your head. Now there are some of you that have been you've been in war. You've served in the military. Some of you may still be serving in the military. But I've noticed through the years, now somebody, I tell you, Brandon, you can correct me if I'm, have they improved the helmet? Not much. When they first made this helmet, they made it so that it would protect your head, right? Whenever God spoke through his word, he put in here a helmet of salvation. And a lot of times we want to talk about the helmet, but we don't want to talk too much about what the helmet protects. And that's what I really want to go into today. And the Bible in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down. Say it really loud. Where does your imaginations originate? Okay? And every high thing that exalts itself against what? Where is that stored? The enemy is going against what you know. Does anybody know that there is a God? Does anybody know that he enrobed himself in flesh, came to this earth as Jesus Christ, lived on this earth, did all kinds of miracles, set people free, went and hung on a cross, ascended back into heaven, and sent his spirit back so that we could be protected from the enemy's onslaught? Do you know that? Do you stand in that fact? Well, when you've done everything that you know to stand, then stand in the fact that Jesus did everything necessary for me to be saved. He did everything necessary for me to be healed. He did everything necessary for me to be set free from any kind of thing that causes me not to have freedom. I know that. I know it. But the enemy comes, and he wants to throw imaginations at you. And he wants to come against what you know. So the Bible calls this attack imaginations. Some of you that are in this room today that have been crippled by the what ifs and the maybes of life. Your blood pressure is out of control because of what might happen. Are y'all hearing me? Now let me ride that wagon for just a minute. Back in the day, the shepherd would pour oil on the sheep's head because there was a bug called the mite. And this mite would come through the wool that was on that sheep. And that mite would work its way to the sheep's ear. And there would be a bug in the ear. And after climbing down the ear canal, infection would set in, and eventually the sheep would die from the infection caused from the mite. Where's the ear canal? It's in the head. Has anybody ever come along and said, I want to put a bug in your ear? You feel a certain pain, and somebody says, that sort of sounds to me like you might have cancer. The company is in a process of downsizing. It looks like you might lose your job. I'm hearing a funny sound. It may be that your car might be on its last leg. I've come to tell somebody that the mites of your life is trying its best to get into your head and set up an infection in you to where you no longer believe that healing is going to happen to you. Yeah, everybody else can have it, but not me. Yeah, everybody else seems to get the best jobs, but never me. It seems like everybody's driving the best cars, but not me. There's a mite that comes in there and tries to infect what you know. And what you know is that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's the one that has all that we would ever need in life, and we forget that, and somebody putting a bug in our ear saying, you might have this, or you might do that, or you might not have this, and it messes us up in such a way that the enemy is dragging the church down through the mites that he's throwing into our lives. And eventually, this infection will really get you down. But I come with you one more time. The weapons of our warfare are not flesh and blood, but they are mighty, and they're through God. And they will pull down every stronghold that the enemy tries to put in your ear and get in your head and mess up your thinking. Don't believe everything you read. Y'all better hear me this morning. Do not believe everything you feel. Do not believe everything everybody else is telling. Maybe you need to get off Facebook for a little while. Maybe somewhere along the way, somebody don't need to know what everybody else is doing every moment of every day, because it's a bring down, in my opinion. When I have to know everything everybody else is going through, I begin to wonder if I'm going to have to go through it too, or if maybe I'm in the middle of this also. And it might be that I'm not going to get along as well as I thought I would if that's really going on in our government. If everything that they talk about is against our president, how's he going to lead the government? Where does the government sit? What sits on the shoulders? Who's the head of the nation? Do you understand? There's a reason that God's word wants us to pray for those that have authority over us. Do you know there's a reason that the enemy is trying to attack the head of our nation? Do you understand? It doesn't mean that he's right in everything he does. What I'm talking about is the enemy wants the whole world against the leader so that the leader comes down and the world falls apart. That's the enemy's design with the church. If he gets to me and breaks me down, it's going to affect some of you. And that doesn't mean I'm standing on some kind of pedestal and I'm some kind of great guy. I'm just human. And I can fail too, but you better quit looking at me. You might already get your gaze on him and begin to understand that it's in him that we have to live and we have to move and we have to have our being, because without him we're nothing, but through him everything is possible. So let me go ahead and get to my point, even though I'm not through. I'll just throw in the middle of it. The anointing oil of the Holy Ghost will stop the mites and the maybes from getting in your ears. That's why they poured this oil and let it run all over the head of the sheep, because the mites, for some reason, couldn't get through the oil.
Well, I'm telling you, in the world that we live in, the mights of this world and the maybes and the I don't cares can't get through the holy anointing oil of Jesus Christ that he said, I will send my spirit back to you. So you tell me you don't need the Spirit of God, I tell you you're wrong. Because there's too many things in this world that's going to come against us. There's too many things going to try to work its way into the ear canal and set up an infection in my thought process. You know, the word repent in itself means to change your thinking. But he didn't want you just to change the way you thought. He needed you to put a covering on you that would protect what you're thinking. The head speaks to leadership. Everybody needs to listen very closely to about what I'm going to say, and please do not mishear this and misrepresent what I'm saying. The head denotes government. Most people are living according to what they feel instead of what they know. I could have stood over this morning and said, you know, I just don't feel like worshiping. But you know what I know? He's worthy of my worship. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what I went through before I got to church. It doesn't matter what my last week held or what next week holds. He's worthy of every moment of my praise, so it doesn't matter about my feelings. What do I know? I know that he's God. I know that he saved my soul. I know he's healed my body. I know he set me free from addiction. I know that he's there for me in every moment of struggle. I know that, but the enemy wants to put the bug in there. So where's God today? Look at what you're going through now. I'm telling you, devil, that you're a liar and you need to go back to the hell from which you came. And God, you're on high, you're on the throne and you're in charge, and I'm going to listen to you and trust you. I'm stirred up. I'm mad at the devil. I'm tired of him taking territory that belongs to us. The Bible says that you are to go against you. What does it say? The gates of hell, that's what it says, shall not prevail against the church. You know what that means? That doesn't mean that the gates are coming against the church. That means we're to go to the gates, and the gates will not hold up under the onslaught of the church. And it's time that we knock the gates of hell down, take back the stuff that he took from us, and get back in possession of the things that we're supposed to have. I'm supposed to have healing. I'm supposed to have his spirit in my life. I'm supposed to have a sin-free life. But he took that from me when he led me down this wrong road and put this might, boy, this might be good. You ought to try this. There's a good correlation here between that M-I-T-E and them M-I-G-H-T. That thing that destroys the sheep. What are we? He wants something in my ear telling me, because I don't like the way you treated me, and I feel this certain way about it, I'll just go do something else. Well, I'm against that. I think I need to quit worrying about how I feel about what you did or didn't do and realize that he's God, and I know that, and he will protect me no matter what comes against me. I need to know. We need to walk out of here knowing something today. Don't y'all make me come out behind here again. Lost my place. We have become so engrossed with what our feelings are saying until we are not allowing ourselves to think correctly. Someone said to me the other day that they didn't have time to always be worried about somebody else's feelings. And I got up in their grill about it. I said, yeah, this is not a job. This is a opportunity. And so I worry about people's feelings. And then I got to thinking about that and rethought all that. And I do believe we need to be concerned about how people feel. But I also want to look at the reason behind the hurt feelings. I really believe that we need to be careful
not to be too quick to let our feelings control our actions. What do we really know? What does God say about this situation? You might have heard this story before, but let me tell it to those that I met some people this morning that I'd never met before, so I'll talk to y'all. We had a tornado a little over 5 years ago that took our building out on the interstate. Anybody know that happened? When I came here, this was basically a startup church, and just had moved into a storefront up at the shopping center. And I had always been a part of established churches, and when my wife and I were driving here that day, I told her, we're going to go, and we'll be nice, and we'll, you know, preach and say, this is nice what y'all are doing, but it's not for us. But I walked in the door, and something grabbed me. And it wasn't a person, it was spirit of God. And I knew immediately this was a place I was supposed to be. So we worked it, you know, didn't do anything by myself, but we worked and we worked and we grew out of that building, and we rented this building and redone it out on the interstate and moved into there, and God blessed us and we were doing great, and tornado came and just blew it all down. And we moved from there to the high school with probably, I'm going to say, around half the people that were there over there. And I told my wife one day, I said, I don't think I can do this anymore. I don't think I can start over. This is like starting over. We worked really hard to get where we are, and I just don't feel like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. A guy invited me, some of you know him, Ron Harris. He invited me to a meeting that was going on in Little Rock. I said, okay, I got a lot of stuff going on. I'll probably be late, but I'm going to come by. I walked in the door, and the guy that was up speaking made this statement. He said, 80% of pastors who go through a catastrophe will quit and leave rather than try to rebuild. And when he said that, it was like a ton of bricks that hit me. That's what I just thought because of how I felt. What do you know? Are you supposed to be here or not? And I decided that I wouldn't become a statistic of the 80% because I knew I was supposed to be here. And here it is 5 years later, and look what God's done. It wasn't because of how I felt that he did what he did. It was because of what I knew he was going to do. I can tell you this. I could have left, missed God, and no telling where I'd be and what I'd be doing right now. But this would have happened anyway, because this was the plan of God. And what happened was, because I knew that, I got to stay and be a part of it. And I'm telling you something this morning, folks. If you will stick to what you know and get away from all this, what I feel right now, and understand what God gives you is a knowing. And sometimes I've done church this way before. If we get a good feel good feeling going on in church, that's what we were looking for. I'm not looking for the feel good feeling. I'm looking for the God that sends it. And if I can find him and encounter him, then all the feel-good's going to be there, because wherever he is, there's victory. And wherever he is, there's liberty. There's deliverance. There's salvation. There's healing. All the benefits of my encounter with Jesus makes all the difference in the world. And I have to keep in my head and keep it covered with his spirit and presence enough to know that what he said he will do no matter what's going on in our lives. Amen. Am I having a feeling or emotional experience in the middle of a head fight? That's my question. Is the enemy trying to point out my feelings to divert me from what I know?
Is he trying to get me to be so attentive to the caressing of my feelings that I leave my head uncovered and open to the attack of the enemy? What you know can come under attack because of what you feel. Feelings are not always accurate to the situation. When certain feelings come, we need to go back to the basics of what we know. And because of that, my head has to be protected so I can know what I know. Y'all with me? I'm almost through. Telling the enemy how you feel has nothing to do with what you know. If we're not careful, we will forfeit what we know God has promised because of how we feel. God never promised that your feelings would line up with the facts. Jesus was the king of, he was the king of the Jews. He was the head of the Jews. The head of the Jews was taken to a hill called Golgotha. Do y'all know what Golgotha means? Somebody say it. Skull. The head came to a head. That's something we need to happen right now. Is the head of everything that we know needs to come to a head with our fight against the way we feel. But when he went to that mountain, when he went to that hill called Golgotha, when the head came to a head, there was a shift that took place. Up to that time, all the law was all that mattered. But when he went to that mountain, when the head took over and it came to a head, everything shifted. Someone said, why do you stand here gazing? This same head that you saw go away is going to come back in like manner. Let me just throw this. This is not in my notes. Let me just throw this out here. There was a guy named Eli. I think for like 40 years, he was over Israel. And there was Hophni and Phinehas, I think, was the names of his two sons. His two sons died in battle along with 30,000 or so of the Israelites. Died in the battle against the Philistines. Whenever some guy from the battle came back and told Eli, Eli's sitting on his chair, told Eli, said, your two sons died in battle. And the way I read that and saw that, it wasn't so much that Eli reacted to that. What Eli reacted to was the fact that the Ark of the Covenant had been taken by the enemy. And when he found out the glory of the Lord no longer resided with Israel, the Bible said that he fell off his chair backwards and broke his neck. What does the neck connect? Head to the body. So there was a disconnect from what he knew and what he was able to do. And there was a shift took place then because somebody else came on and took on his reign. And it wasn't as great as it was before. I'm telling you, when there's a disconnect from the head of our lives, Jesus Christ, and the body, the church, things are going to get all out of whack. And we're going to be running around just feeling this and feeling that. And our disconnect does not let us know what's going on. And that's what the enemy's trying to do in the day we live in, is get a disconnect between the church and the head of the church, Jesus Christ. I've come to come against the enemy today and say there's not going to be a disconnect. There's going to be a helmet that goes on
that protects. And if we fall and bang our head against the ground or a rock or whatever, we're going to be protected by the anointed Holy Spirit of God that we have put on us and in us. When Jesus sent his Spirit, the Bible said that his Spirit sat upon each. Like a flame of fire. When he came to the head first. And I'm going to mess around and go too long if I keep thinking. I keep thinking of Scripture. Old Testament. He anointeth my head with oil. My cup runs over. The only reason my cup is running over is from the residue of what's on my head. We got to get it right up here, folks, and quit letting every little bug that comes along cause us to feel a certain way. And we need to get our heads right so that that anointing will run down and drip off of us, and our cups will run over with the blessings of God if we will unify with the head of the church, and our own head unify with our own bodies, and the same thing in the spiritual body of Christ. There's an anointing that comes with his Spirit that will stop all of those mites that are trying to tear us down. I believe, and I used Acts 2:38 last week, let me use it again. I believe that the saturation of his Spirit in our lives will put a coating of protection on our head. I told you last week, there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. A baptism. Saturation. The word baptism comes from the word baptizo, which means to saturate or to fully engulf. If we, as people, just as human beings, are fully saturated with the Holy Spirit, that means body, soul, head, thinking, mind, everything is saturated if we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're saturated, head included. And then there's something about that that puts this invisible hard casing around us to where nothing can change what we know. And I think more than anything that we've ever needed, hear me this morning, the church needs a baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need that in our lives. We need it to change the way we think and the way we act and react in every situation of life. If I am saturated, I am covered. That doesn't mean that I won't have a battle, but it means in the battle, I'm completely protected. Stand with me, please. Thank you for hearing me out this morning. But please don't let it just be words that I don't want to just have put a bug in your ear today. I want it to be truth that gets on the inside of us and causes us to realize that just because my feelings are messed up, I might need to look and see if I've got them in the wrong place anyway. Maybe I'm putting them out on my shoulders instead of the armor that's supposed to be covering. I don't want to keep pressing on this feeling thing. Please don't allow your feelings to dictate where you are spiritually. These altars are open. Obviously, are you going to sing? I think you should. I think you should. Faith is going to sing. And while she's singing, if you feel like that you have any feelings that are out of whack, misplaced, in the wrong place, or maybe your thinking is not what it ought to be, maybe it doesn't line up with what you know, I want you to come up here and I want to pray for you. Who wants to come? Just be honest. Say, I just like to come up and I need to clear some stuff up. Get some stuff in alignment. Unity to me is very important. Unity among the body and unity with Jesus. If we get unity with Jesus right, unity with the body is going to be right. So it's unity with the head, getting the head thinking and the body feeling after the thinking and the knowing, rather than the body just feeling and acting and reacting. Just everybody. Jesus, we need you. What we're doing right now is mighty through you. And by the authority of the name of Jesus and the power that's in your word, we bring down every stronghold that's in this house today. We ask, God, that you touch every person that stepped out in faith today that might have a division between the way they think or what they know and the way they feel. God, I'm asking that our feelings start aligning with what we know. And realize that if it's not aligning with what we know, we just brush it off and throw it to the side and say, well, it's just maybe a wrong thought. Get our thinking right. Protect us, God, with the infilling of your Spirit. Baptize us and saturate us with your Spirit so that we might be able to gain protection in everything that we do. God, I'm asking right now that you touch every mind in this house and not let us be led astray by some man that believes certain things. Let that happen right now, God. Don't let anybody feed or put a bug in our ear that causes us to think wrong. Let us think right, God. Let us think God thoughts. We realize your thoughts and your ways are much higher than ours, but somehow let's bring them closer together so that when we think, it's more like what you would think. And when we do things and the ways we handle stuff is more like how you would handle stuff. Just make that happen today, God. And I believe that will happen when your Spirit saturates us, overflows us, till our cup runs over. In Jesus' name. I had a friend one time that wrote a poem, said, I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overrun. I think that if we will allow it to be done right, God will pour out his Spirit on us so much it'll fill up our cup, it'll run over into our saucer, and then just spill out on everybody around us. That's what we need today. God, is saturate us, pour out. This Latter-day outpouring you talked about, God, we want some of that. Let that happen, Jesus.
Thankful for what God is doing in your heart. If you would like to give towards revival being established in our region, or you have a testimony of how your life is being changed, please connect with us at livingtruth.church or send emails to livingtruthar@gmail.com.